smiling.
Good morning. I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Henn, and this is What's on Your Mind, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550, and we'd like to know what's on your mind. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Mr. Bakken. Happy Wednesday. Is this Wednesday? It is. Middle of the week.
It's Wednesday. This week's just flying by because it's kind of nice when we get out of the studio. Things go quick. Very quick.
Don't they, though? Don't they, though?
I know.
Because we were at Bobcat on Monday for that big announcement.
Before the wind picked up.
Yeah, wow. So I'm on I-94 yesterday and out there about Sterling. Didn't even get to Sterling, as a matter of fact. And, you know, my truck top bed cover was flying all over the place. Pardon me?
Tonneau cover,
yeah.
Tonneau cover.
It's sort of like Kleenex, right? Tonneau Kleenex.
Exactly.
Top, the topper cover would be the equivalent of... You know, a tissue, but you want to call it by its brand name.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like antacids. Everybody calls an antacid now, no matter what it is, a Tums or a Rolaid.
I don't care what you call it. It was a pain in the rear because literally in the rear of the truck, you know, the cover was flying all over the place. And I
How does that Velcro work on a hurricane?
Oh, the Velcro does not cut it. It may have cut it on the moon. It didn't cut it on the I-94 in 45-mile-an-hour winds yesterday. Yikes, what a mess. Anyway, this is What's on Your Mind. We want to know what's on your mind. Here's how you tell us, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. You can go to any one of these spots, whatsonyourmindradio.com, our What's on Your Mind Radio Facebook page, or follow us on Twitter. And by the way, if you go to the website, whatsonyourmindradio.com, real nice and easy links to Facebook and to Twitter to follow us and like us right there and weigh in on the hot topics of the day. What's on your mind today, Steve?
Well, what is on my mind is our favorite weekend news anchor from K-Fire TV has a new job, A.J. Clemente. He found a new gig, and it wasn't quite as good a gig as we thought he was going to have. He is now bartending at a bar in Delaware. It's up on the marquee. Welcome our new bartender, A.J. Clemente, and straight off his appearance on Letterman, and yeah, that's a new career, I guess.
I think that means his 50 minutes are officially up.
I think it's over. I think it's officially over.
Should we weep? Should we mourn for his broadcast career ending as now a famed bartender rather than a newscaster? You think, or given his potty mouth on TV? Is it? I'm guessing the folks at K-Fire TV are kind of quietly going, okay. Score one for us, right?
Yeah, just a little bit. Although, I'm wondering how many times people are going to walk up to him at the bar and go, hey, can you give us the line?
Yeah, but that might last a month, right? I think after a month, that's going to go away. I've had a snootful of the federal government telling us how we should run things because I think we actually at the local, at the, you know, whether it be the city, whether it be the county, whether it be the state, we're better at this. But the federal government, through its National Transportation Safety Board, have now recommended that states cut their threshold for drunken driving by nearly half, from 0.08 blood alcohol level to 0.05. And so they want to bring that down by quite a bit. I want to know what our listeners think about that. Is the National Transportation Safety Board right? They're saying our goal is to get to zero deaths. Because alcohol-impaired death is preventable. Alcohol-impaired deaths are not accidents. They are crimes. They can and should be prevented. The tools exist. What is needed is the will.
Does it indicate anything that MAD isn't on board with this, Mothers Against Drunk Driving? Might as well
Seriously?
Just bring back prohibition. Yeah, they're not on board with this.
Wow.
At least not as of yet.
That's saying something.
Is prohibition on its way back? That's the question.
Well, and I have to wonder if that's what they're trying to get at here, because it seems to me this is getting a bit too far. And it reminds me, quite honestly, of the debate over smoking. Remember, we said, hey, smoking in bars should be banned. I want to be able to go to a bar and not smell smoke. I always said, well, just don't go to the bar if they allow smoke, and then let the bars decide, you know, smoking or not, right? And then it goes to restaurants, then it's everywhere. That's a statewide ban, and this reminds me of the slippery slope. Tell us if we're wrong. 800-228-0550. Mike wants to tell us what's on his mind. Hello, Mike, you're on.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Excellent. How are you this Wednesday?
I'm doing good. I'm out seeing canola. I was just, before it gets too serious, I just had a question about AM radio signals. Like clockwork, every night when the sun goes down, my AM signal gets really fuzzy and scratchy and I can't pick it up anymore. Is there some kind of rule that says at a certain time of day they need to turn down their wattage, or why does that always happen?
Some stations, yes. Our flagship station, 550 K-Fire, that's not the case. They're one of those. In fact, K-Fire predates the FCC. That's why I love K-Fire. Yeah. They've been around, long before the Federal Communication Commission came around and said, here's what you need to do. But a lot of stations do have to turn on the power and at night, AM stations, that is. And it is generally because at nighttime the signals travel farther, and so to protect signals in other places. Like, for instance, our Fargo signal, 1100, the power is reduced during the evening hours because there's a station in Cleveland on 1100. So... anyway, that's it. The answer is there's nothing wrong with your radio. That happens to a lot of stations, but that's one of the great reasons, that we appreciate the flagship 550 being that big signal that booms to nine states and two Canadian provinces is a place we get to call home. And also, Steve, during this time of the morning, nobody's power is down. Everybody powers up, right?
Depends on the energy drink or how much coffee you get.
I don't know if our radio signals are fueled by energy drinks.
But, does that answer your question, Mike?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Perfect. We want to know what's on your mind. 701-258-0550. 1-800-228-0550. Kurt in Bismarck, what's on your mind this morning?
So yesterday I couldn't get a hold of you guys. I was driving. But I heard a lot of people complaining about the truck drivers driving too fast and this and that. Remember, people, when those truck drivers are speeding, they're bringing your groceries to the grocery store. Your milk, your bread, and stuff like that. A lot of those guys are on a time schedule. If you don't have your food, then you're going to complain about that. And another thing I got to bring up real quick is how about these perfect angel people that are complaining about the truck drivers? How about one that's a red light or a stop sign and you're still going through?
Here's my question. Can't we all get along? Those that drive those, little Yugos all the way up to the 18-wheelers, can't we just, sing kumbaya and all get along? I don't think anybody's anti-truck drivers. I think what happened yesterday, Kurt, was obviously a discussion about, a very unfortunate incident that caused the death of a motorcyclist because of a decision that the truck driver admitted was a bad one in making a right-hand turn from a left lane and going across three lanes in traffic, but. Honestly, didn't sense, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, much angst from the listeners about truck drivers. I think, quite honestly, I, for one, appreciate what you do. You keep the economy moving.
Right, but, there's a sticker on all auto trucks. This vehicle makes a wide right turn, and you see a lot of people, like I heard one of the listeners, they try to sneak through, and that's where the problem, We have the mirrors. The people see the sign, so... What's the problem? That's the part I can't figure out is if people open their eyes, put the phone down, put the food down, and look what's going on ahead of them, and then there wouldn't be that problem because, turning a 53-foot trailer, you're not going to turn it in the lane you're in. You have to take that wide right turn.
Kurt, you're a professional driver. Rule of thumb for everybody out there that's around a truck when they're driving, they do take up the extra room. If you can't see the driver's face in your mirror, they can't see you. Rule of thumb, just know that. But, Kurt, I see this all the time, and I've got a CDL, and I've driven for my dad owns a trucking company. You see it all the time. You swing out in that left lane. You're supposed to take both lanes. If there's a four-lane road and you've got two lanes there, you're supposed to take both lanes and then make your right-hand turn. How many times do you see people try to slide up on the right side of a truck trying to make a right-hand turn?
95% of the time.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Okay. That's what I had to get off of my chest. So now
I'm glad you did. Glad you did, Kurt. Now you can smile and also be a little easier to keep that that 18-wheeler on the road today. My gosh, that win yesterday must have been something. Thanks a bunch. Monty in Bismarck, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Hello, Monty.
Morning. When Obama was elected president, I was optimistic. I am every time there's an election. I hope that they do well because if they do well, the country does well. but I've had a long enough time to observe this man, 5 years. And to me, he looks to be an absolute criminal, surrounding himself by people in his higher echelons that are criminally minded, and that we're probably being run by the biggest criminal organization that's ever been in power. That includes Nixon. He was a crook, too. And I'm just wondering if people, when they see the abuses that this man heaps on ordinary people for being conservative or whatever he doesn't like about them, and using the IRS to go after them, if anybody that puts up a red flag, or they just go merrily on their way and say, you know, everything's free, we're going to have everything free, or is it just me?
Let's ask. Short break. You agree with Monty? When we come back, more of What's On Your Mind, 800-228-0550. Don't go away. Hey, friends, it's Scott Hannon here to tell you about one of my favorite places in the world. We're talking about Chase on the Lake Resort, one of the premier resorts in Minnesota, on the third biggest lake in Minnesota. Some great walleye fishing. That's Leech Lake, located in a sleepy little Norman Rockwell-like community, Walker, Minnesota. What's not to love? Hey, it gets better. This fabulous resort with everything from three-bedroom condos on down to beautiful, beautiful rooms in their lodge, $69 a night, any room, any night, now till May 23rd, if you use the promo code SCOTT. Go to chaseonthelake.com. You can take a tour. You'll see the restaurant and the bar, the Comprador Aveda Spa. You'll see these facilities, the lodging. It is absolutely incredible. And if you go to chasecondosales.com, you can own a piece of the Chase starting at $150,000. No mowing. None of the hassles. They'll fill the boat with gas. They'll put the dock out. ChaseCondosales.com. It starts at $150,000. Check it all out. Chase on the Lake, Walker, Minnesota. Did you know there were 78 credit unions in North and South Dakota with assets in excess of $4.2 billion and nearly a half a million credit union members? Credit unions play a very important role in the financial landscape of the Dakotas. They're unique in their structure. They're member-owned, not-for-profit financial cooperatives that return their earnings back to members. Unfortunately, most folks and even our policymakers don't understand that. Credit unions exist to help people, not make a profit. And credit unions operate under the philosophy of people helping people. That philosophy works well in the Dakotas, so the credit unions can serve their members, including those of modest means, providing credit at reasonable rates and other financial services to members. And they work hard to assist their members to become better educated consumers of financial services. Find out more at CUontheRoad.org. CU as in credit union on the road.org and on their Facebook page. The Credit Union Association of the Dakotas.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
This is What's On Your Mind with Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hannon. 800-228-0550 to answer the question, what's on your mind? Monty, before the break, said, hey, I started out having an open mind about President Barack Obama. And I now think it's a criminal enterprise. And by the way, NBC News, Brian Williams, started their newscast last night with the following. Listen to this.
Groups and citizens, because of their politics, and in this case, because of conservative politics. Again, this is just one front we're covering.
Isn't what I wanted to play you. I wanted to play you his opening statement. Here it is.
Good evening. As a lot of American adults not so fondly remember, the last time the government was found looking into the phone calls of reporters and using the IRS for political purposes, it was the Nixon era. And while times have changed and circumstances are different, that subject came up at the Obama White House today as the administration now scrambles on several fronts. We begin with the potentially illegal use of the IRS.
The firestorm really is the IRS scandal, the Benghazi scandal, and now the revelation that some AP reporters have their emails hacked by the government. But when NBC News is comparing the Obama administration to the Nixon era, I think we are in a different place. So I guess the question is, do you agree with Monty? Let us know.
You know,
by the
Scott,
way,
Scott
Congressman would... Kevin Cramer next hour, and we're also going to talk about the North Dakota Heritage Outdoor Fund, so we have a couple of guests, too. Yes, Steve?
You know, Scott, with me, it's rather ironic, and I look at this as the big picture. You know, the Benghazi was one thing, the IRS is another thing, but now that the AP phone records are out there, now look at the media. And the media is starting to swirl around this and get on board with all these other things. Now, did it take the phone records issue coming up before more attention's put on the administration?
You wonder, because Benghazi, I think, is the biggest story of all.
It is.
Just because it's, I mean, you have dead Americans, right? And you have it's largely was ignored during the campaign. And yet, you're right, the media didn't really grab it. And the IRS thing, a bit of a stir. Now the AP reporters' emails being hacked. All of a sudden, the media's in meltdown. Let's get back to the calls.
701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. We want to know what's on your mind. Lance in Fargo, what's on your mind this morning?
Yes, good morning. Interesting conversation today. And I thought I was for hope and change, too, at the time. But as you follow the timeline and look at the things that have gone on in the past years. Let's go back to 2008 when Holder failed to bring charges against the new Black Panthers for not allowing white voters to vote in Pennsylvania in violation of the Voters' Rights Act. And then there's the Fast and Furious gun running deal in Mexico where he had to go screaming to the president to get presidential executive order so as not to let emails and other forms be seen by Congress to see who all was involved. And now he don't know anything about the wiretap. He said the other day that he excused himself of that and let some other lower official below him run that idea. But it's just one thing after another. He's picking and choosing. Do we have a federal law enforcement who will enforce the laws, or they don't care? They don't want to pick and choose what laws they want to enforce.
It sounds to me, Lance, with your list, that you've been concerned for some time. Does it frustrate you that this hasn't received more attention, or do you sort of see this as sort of what goes around comes around, and they're getting their due now?
Well, I don't even think they're going to get their dues now because what was it? The IRS put out an apology. Yesterday on Rush, I guess he read where the IRS sent the information to some political hack group that publishes the information that they sent them, which is highly illegal. They're not supposed to divulge anybody's tax information to anybody, but they've been doing it for like 3 or 4 years now. And nobody's taken a fall. Nobody's been fired. Nobody's up for charges.
Frustrating. We can hear it in your voice. Appreciate the call, Lance. Thanks a bunch. Others waiting. Ray down in South Dakota. Ray, you're up on What's on Your Mind.
Go ahead, Ray.
Hello?
Ray, go ahead. What's on your mind this morning?
I'll tell you what's on my mind. I'd like to know who gave the order for that light colonel to stand down in Benghazi. Some general had to give him that order, and somebody had to tell the general to tell him. I think it's a criminal act by those people, and as a former military person, disabled veteran, I can tell you it's just unbelievable that a light colonel in special forces would stand down and let Americans be killed.
Their narrative is that that call came from the State Department, which concerns me. When the State Department is telling folks to stand down, that should be a Department of Defense. But do you buy that it's a State Department lower-level official, or do you think it goes all the way up to the White House?
It's got to go all the way to the White House, you know, because somebody had to call that light colonel, had to be a general, has to go back to the chiefs somewhere. And they take an oath to protect Americans, and they violated that oath. Those people should be court-martialed.
I couldn't agree more. Leave the military's duties to the military. That's what I say. It's when politics get involved with it, it starts to cause a problem. John, what's on your mind this morning?
Comment I got to make is, I mean, everybody's got the opinions with the Benghazi, and they're infuriated because of it, as am I, and as well as the IRS. I'm infuriated with that as well. I'm also infuriated on all the other stuff he's doing. The APA, the money, the taxes, the increase. And it's like everything that our country has valued has been ripped out from underneath us. And I believe back to the core, what his end goal is. And Benghazi, I think, played into it. I think he was, you know, trying to start something more. And, you know, it's like infuriating the country. And, you know, causing an uproar. And I don't know. It's like there's something more behind this. I mean, if you just sit back and look, I mean, Scott said years ago on his other program, you know, there's so much coming out of this administration. It's like trying to drink out of a fire hose. And, you know, take your pick. There isn't one thing this guy stands for that's American and that we can stand for and support.
Why do you think, John, you, again, listed off a lot of things that other callers have as well. I mean, we're only a few months away from a campaign. Why now? Why is this critical mass being, it seems, more widely recognized now?
The only thing I can come up with, and, you know, call me conspiracy theorist, call me whatever, I think he's trying to incite riot. Look at Occupy Wall Street. Look at all those things that he's trying to do and, you know, incite anger and into the American public to incite riot. It's like, that's the only thing I think is his goal. And America's not going for it. We're sitting back and, you know, wanting law to take care of it. And, you know, he's got the law on his side and they're, of course, not going to prosecute him. The Republicans aren't doing anything. You know, they're not doing anything to stop him. I don't know what else to think.
John, thanks for the phone call. We got one more quick one. Tom, what's on your mind today?
Well, good morning, gentlemen, and you have a great show, and I hope you continue, honestly. But, you know, and I agree with all these guys that have been coming on, but what about our local, I'm talking about city, county, state representatives right here that are just as corrupt, and if people don't believe me, I'd like to hear their minds on that. But,
we've got some local representatives coming up soon, but I don't know if they're corrupt or not, but we'll dig into that as well. This is What's in Your Mind. I'm Steve Bakken with Scott Hannon.
Hardworking trucks. Three brands to choose from on one lot at Nelson Auto Center in Fergus Falls. America's favorite brands. Ford F-Series, GMC Sierra, or Ram. Drive all three and compare and never leave our lot. Plus, we'll deliver your new truck free within 300 miles. Check our website, nelsonfergusfalls.com. You'll see our prices, our inventory, and our great selection of three truck brands. Seven new brands all in one lot. Nelson Auto Center. Visit online anytime, nelsonfergusfalls.com. Exit 54, Fergus Falls.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Stiction. It's the cholesterol of your diesel engine that clogs the arteries of your injectors, causing hard starts, bucking and chugging, and potential injector failure.
I used Hot Shot one time, drove to Alabama, 700 miles from where I live. I'll tell you what, it fixed the problem.
9 out of 10 failed injectors can be rejuvenated with Hot Shot's Secret Stiction Eliminator. One $52 bottle could save you the cost of an expensive injector replacement. Deep discount, today only. For today only, purchase Hotshot Secret Stiction Eliminator online at $26.99. That's 50% off the retail price and includes free shipping. This price is only available online at HotshotSecret.com. Offer expires at noon today Pacific time. Visit HotshotSecret.com and click the microphone to grab your 50% discount and free shipping. This is a one-day promotion and will not be offered tomorrow or next week.
Hotshot Secret, powered by science. We'll be right back. What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
What's on your mind? I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hennen on What's on Your Mind, 258-0550, locally in Bismarck, Mandan, or 1-800-228-0550. And with us now on the program, Calvin Hewlett from the Bismarck Mandan Chamber of Commerce and Todd Porter, House District 34 from Mandan. We're talking about the Heritage Fund and why this was important. Quick question for you, Calvin. What was the fund intended for, and why was it important? Why was it needed? Why was there these funds that needed to be allocated for that?
Sure, and good morning. Nice to be here, by the way.
You look so chipper this morning. It's a happy Wednesday.
You know, the session's over. I think all of us that were up there are a lot more chipper this week. We've kind of recovered. You know, I think when we got involved in this whole process was last summer. And we had the conservation groups come to the chamber. We had some discussions as they were working on their ballot issue and whatnot. And I think that part of the discussion for our group really came down to there has always been a fund for money to go into conservation, the Natural Resources Trust Fund. But all of the money that had went into that had really always went towards water projects. And of course, those are very important for our state. But we really did see, as we talked with the conservation groups and the ag groups and whatnot, that there was a need to really look at what we're doing in the state. And, of course, with the reduction coming in federal funding not having a farm bill for a year and those sorts of things, you're going to really start to see some habitat loss in North Dakota. And, of course, the outdoors and landscape is really a key part of North Dakota. I mean, our outdoor heritage is really one of the key values that we have. And so after that initiative did not make the ballot, we brought all the parties together, met for about 4 months, and really tried to find a legislative solution that would address what we really felt like the issues were. And that was, you know, access, obviously, for hunting and fishing, conservation, working with our farmers and ranchers in working lands programs, and then also just looking at what are those pieces of property in North Dakota that really are viable and need to be maintained. And so that was how we came to really the bill that we brought forward, and Representative Porter was the prime sponsor on to create the Outdoor Heritage Fund.
It sets aside 4% of the first 1% of the oil and gas gross production tax, which is limited to $15 million a year or $30 million in a biennium. I know there have been some reports lately that it will not raise as much as the cap, and Representative Porter, you've been quoted as saying that was well known, and there were some attempts to fix that so there more dollars would be raised from this, but that was objected to by some conservation groups and some Democrats. Tell us why.
Well, it wasn't well known in the beginning. I think we thought we had it right. And then as it went through the process and we started having the hearings in the Appropriations Committee and saw the fiscal note, we saw that it was only projected by the tax department to raise about $17 million in the biennium. You know, so it's not going to hit the cap the first go around because of production. So as production and the taxes kick in, and as the oil production keeps increasing and the price stays in the stable area that it's at, then at a point it is going to reach the cap. We did try to fix it in the Senate and put it to 8%, so we were guaranteed to hit the cap in the first biennium, but with the other objections from the other groups, there was too big of a risk to bring it back to the House and have a vote.
And Scott, let me add on just to that just a bit. So when we wrapped up our discussions with all of the groups last fall and really had the final draft of the bill, the number that we had all agreed to support was $20 million. And the conservation groups were very upfront with us and have been throughout the process that they never, you know, that their number is $100 million a year. That's really what they feel like we need to dedicate into conservation to address the needs. You know, from the ag community side, the business community side, and others, I mean, we couldn't get there. And so $20 million was the number that we left the table with. And then when it went to the legislature, they actually brought that number up to $30 million. And you know, essentially what happened was we didn't readjust that fiscal piece as we adjusted the number. And so yeah, we discovered it was there and I think had thoughts of fixing it, but that just became apparent it was not possible.
As the money grows, and Todd, as you stated, it's built to continue to grow, where does that money go? And if it's not at that point right now, if there's going to be a shortfall in that budget, if you can call it a budget, is that money that's allocated already for uses somewhere? So is this a problem that there's not going to be enough money initially in there from what was laid out in the legislation?
No, it's not a problem at all. The advisory committee will start to work and set up more or less a budget to say these are the top priorities for conservation in the state of North Dakota, whether that's cost sharing with an existing program through the USDA, whether it's going after additional funds in some of the already existing North Dakota Game and Fish plots type programs, working lands programs, or even going to the state forester and working with some of their projects for tree plantings. It's all there. So this group, as it gets appointed in July, or in August actually, they will start kind of writing their rules. It'll take them 6 months and a number of meetings before they have a product that they can take back to the Industrial Commission and kind of get a stamp of approval that they're going in the right direction in the first place. So during that time frame, this fund will be filling up with some money. So, you know, when it's something brand new, it does take time before the money's there. And it's not pre-spent. There's no pre-budget that came in. Everything starts from ground zero with this working committee that will be formed.
By the way, if you have a question or comment for our guest, Representative Todd Porter of Mandan, and also the president of the Bismarck-Mandan Chamber of Commerce, Kelvin Holland, is here with us today. 800-228-0550 is the toll-free telephone number, 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550. We're talking about the new law in North Dakota setting up a fund for an outdoor heritage fund. I'm curious, you know, first Calvin and then you, Todd, how you'll judge the success of this program. What's the ultimate goal? What do you want to accomplish? And obviously, it's very different than what these conservation groups want to accomplish if they were looking for $100 million. Are they planning up to buy up a bunch of land? Or what, you know, what do you want to accomplish? What's the goal with the funds allocated versus what the other side wanted to do with $100 million?
Well, I think the ultimate judge of the success of this program is really going to be by the public. I mean, it's do we fulfill those four ideals that we set forth in the legislation for access, for conservation of habitat and creation of habitat, working with our farmers and ultimately kind of the parks and recs piece. So ultimately, obviously, it will be the public that judges the success of this. You know, I would hope that as we move forward with it, and, you know, I think one thing that we kind of miss is, you know, we're kind of really going from zero to up to $30 million into conservation, and that's a huge step. And so I think there is going to be a lot of inspection from the public, if you will, and really keeping an eye on is this successful. But I think ultimately it's the projects that come forward and what impact do they have on the state and really on the future of North Dakota in making sure that we maintain that outdoor heritage.
you know, Scott, I think Calvin's right on as far as the ultimate judge of any of these kinds of projects are the public. We have to take a look at using this money as kind of a cost share set of funds so that we can get the most bang for our buck. I think that the $30 million can be used as a cost share and grab money out of other programs like the Farm Bill, like the Existing Plots Program, like our Game and Fish funds, funds from other conservation organizations across the state and across the country to do bigger projects and bigger conservation projects. You know, inside of North Dakota, we have a really great conservation group. It's the farmers and ranchers of the state. They're in charge of the land. Most of the land in North Dakota is held privately. And, you know, they're always looking for ways to improve through rotational grazing systems, through filter strips for runoff. And a lot of those projects aren't funded at the federal level anymore. And the cost share back to that local landowner keeps on going up. And so these funds can be used for those types of things, which in turn, from a conservation standpoint, really put more bang for the buck and get the job done. As we see the CRP acres dwindling, then we're going to have to start coming up with something new that's going to promote nesting cover, that's going to promote habitat for our wildlife, and it's also going to keep the access with private lands going. So I think there's plenty of projects out there. We just have to prioritize them.
I got two questions. First of all, Kelvin, you mentioned Parks and Rec. That's something that's already budgeted. Would this act as a supplement, or does this essentially turn into a slush fund for Park and Rec?
The answer is no. It does not turn into a slush fund for Park and Rec. In fact, it's not a slush fund for anyone. What the fund is meant to do, and within the law, it's drafted in that the money cannot be used for land acquisition. And it cannot be used to encumber land for more than 20 years. And so the discussions within the working group as we put this together related to Parks and Rec was, and you're right, there's already Parks and Rec's budgets, you know, the cost of acquisition for land is high for a city, or especially when you're looking out west here. And so part of the discussion was, you know, the city may use their money to do the land acquisition of a park, and then they could come to the fund to help with the amenities. So if you need a shelter, those sorts of things, that's where this fund could assist a city or a county in the recreational aspect.
What would the opposition do with $100 million, and is that why they wanted a constitutional resolution?
Well, their biggest objection still today is the fact that this fund cannot be used to purchase land. It cannot be used to encumber or put permanent easements on land, on private property, and it can't be used to any way impede the development of energy, whether it be lignite, natural gas, or oil. And included in that is the purchase of mineral rights. I guess when I looked at the initiated measure that they were proposing, I saw a big red flag that all of a sudden they have $100 million of oil money that flows to them directly. They have no legislative oversight to say how they spend it, and they have the ability inside of that constitutional act to purchase land and to go to the table and bid on mineral rights. And
yeah,
I think that's wrong.
I'm guessing the people are with you on that one, Todd, big time. Representative Todd Parter and Calvin Hullett from the Bismarck-Mandan Chamber of Commerce, and, of course, Representative Porter from Mandan. Thank you, gentlemen, for an update on a piece of legislation. Didn't get a lot of attention from the legislature, the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and the facts on it. Thanks. We appreciate it. Back to your calls after this timeout on What's on Your Mind.
We'll be right back with more of What's on Your Mind after these messages.
I want to tell you about a North Dakota product that gets rid of odors, the bad smells. This product is out of Zeeland, North Dakota. Daryl, tell us about odor medicine. What kind of smells can it destroy?
What odor medicine does, it destroys the odor molecule. Basically, you can kill skunk smell, cat urine. You can mold, musty smells. If you got a camper that had a refrigerator that went out that's got a stinky smell in the refrigerator, it'll destroy the odor in that refrigerator permanently. That's what it does. It basically destroys the odor so the order will not come back. We give a 100% guarantee. If that smell ever comes back, call us up or refund your money.
The stench of rotting meat in a freezer that lost power. Think of that. That odor destroyed. If you go to getridofsmellnow.com, use the promo code Scott, get 10% off your order, plus free priority shipping. Getridofsmellnow.com, 100% money back guarantee. You can't beat it. And it's North Dakota made. Soybeans. North Dakota soybeans. Did you know soybean production has expanded to the west and the north in our state over the last decade? There's now 6,000 soybean producers in North Dakota, contributing to a checkoff program. And that investment is paying significant dividends in the areas of research, domestic and international marketing, promotion and education. Through the involvement of both the North Dakota Soybean Council and the association, you receive timely and accurate news and information of value and your pulse on the programs underway to help you become more successful and profitable. Find out more at ndsoybean.org. ndsoybean.org. Subscribe to the North Dakota Soybean Grower and find out more about the North Dakota Soybean Council. Better opportunities, delivering you valuable news and information to North Dakota soybean producers and all of North Dakota's agriculture community. Check out their website, ndsoybean.org, for more. ndsoybean.org.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21 cubic foot refrigerator freezer or a 22 cubic foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
With Steve Bach and I'm Scott Hannon, this is What's on Your Mind. And beyond the hours we're on the air, when we're off the air, the other 20-some odd hours a day, we want to know what's on your mind. That's why we have the new What's on Your Mind Radio Facebook page, whatsonyourmindradio.com webpage, as well as a Twitter. We asked yesterday, of course, with truck drivers taking the brunt of many of the callers' comments on the show after that light sentence was given to a Minnesota man after an incident last June that claimed the life of a motorcyclist.
I'm starting to like that Tweety thing, Scott.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm with you on the Tweety thing. Anyway, one of the questions we asked was whether or not it was time to get tough on moms who leave young children home alone. There was a story in yesterday's Bismarck Tribune about this, about a Bismarck mom who left four children ages 2 through 10 alone this past weekend. She claimed she'd arranged for a babysitter, but left home before the babysitter arrived. She was also unable to provide contact information for the babysitter. The kids are now with social services. She faces a Class C felony for abuse or neglect. Our question, too tough or not tough enough? A lot of Facebook comments on that. Also, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the feds now want the legal limit for driving under influence lowered from 0.08 to 0.05. Beverage makers are pushing back, saying this recommendation is ludicrous. moving from 0.08 to 0.05 would criminalize perfectly responsible behavior. Who is right? Comments also on that on our Facebook page. Weigh in, and Sean wants to weigh in right now at 800-228-0550. Hello, Sean. What's on your mind?
Oh, you know, I'm a commercial driver's license operator, and I heard one of you guys are also. And that is the most valuable piece of plastic I have in my pocket. And my wife is a diehard against drunk driving. And I agree with it completely. It's been proven in other countries that if they lowered the blood alcohol content, it actually did save lives. Yes, it did take time. Yes, I understand the beverage companies completely disagree with it. Does that mean that the beverage companies are promoting drunk driving, or are they just simply trying to sell their product? I mean, it's just, I completely agree with it. Yes, I believe it will take time. And let's be responsible about this. I'm sure every listener out there has had somebody involved with alcohol-related incidents, maybe even lost a family member to an alcohol-related incident. And how does that make you feel? I mean, honestly, how does that make you feel? If you knew that the blood alcohol content was at 0.05 and they had the safe monitoring and the alcohol patrols. Now, there are some gray area on that where they always tell you, oh, well, this is where we're going to set up the alcohol patrol. I don't believe they should tell us where they're going to set up the alcohol patrol. They just need to set them up and monitor it. And if you're actually over the legal limit, then you're going to get arrested and you're going to pay a lot. And it hopefully, God forbid, you don't hurt anybody. You simply hurt yourself by losing your license and all of the costs that incur in getting a DUI.
Sean, I think a lot of the argument is a lot of people are looking at it as they're trying to eliminate social drinking. If you think about it, a lot of people, 0.05 is a glass of wine with dinner, one drink with dinner.
Right. And my wife, like I said, if I have one drink, I don't drive. And she doesn't drink at all. So I'm fortunate enough that I have a designated driver. And hey, I'm a social drinker myself. You know, I'll get off work, I'll sit at the shop, I'll have a couple of beers, and then it's like, well, now I've got to call my wife and have my wife come and get me because I'm going to be the responsible citizen and not risk getting a DUI.
Well, that's common sense, though. What you're describing, Sean, is just perfect common sense. I did the same thing with my wife. My point is, I think what the National Transportation Safety Board is trying to do, and other groups, is basically essentially outlaw alcohol and say, you know what, let's just not have it at all. It's like the smoking debate, you know. In other words, it started as, oh, let's not have people be able to smoke in restaurants and then smoke in bars and then smoke in public places, and really what they want is just nobody to smoke. Now, it's a legal product. Alcohol is a legal product, and tobacco is. Use common sense. Use it responsibly. Do we need more laws, and in this case, a lowering of the of the blood alcohol content legal limit, or do we just need more common sense?
Well, as I sit here and smoke a cigarette myself, I don't think we need more laws. We need to promote in the schools and through even the distributors, the alcohol manufacturers. They could even have help out a little bit with this. Hey, drink our product. Yes, they do advertise, please drink responsibly. And maybe they could ratchet that up a little bit more and say, hey, you know, let's have a little more common sense here. Let's have some more education. You know, and now you can go off a whole new offshoot on a whole new debate on the education and all that kind of stuff.
Well, Sean, I know for a fact McQuaid Distributing here in Bismarck, Mandan, that's one of their big promotions. They actually supply taxi cab vouchers when there's events going on, when there's a bigger event. So I think a lot of the distributors do bend over backwards and trying to facilitate proper use of their product.
Right. And, you know, it's all in a personal responsibility aspect of each individual that does decide to drink, whether it be social or at an event, you know, social, that, hey, look, I'm going to have some drinks. I want to make sure that I'm going to get home safely, so I'm going to try to have a designated driver. Or I'm going to only go to events that provide transportation so that I can.
More common sense, Sean. Rather than enforce the laws we have in the books. Appreciate the call. Thanks for sharing what's on your mind. More of the same straight ahead in the next hour after a timeout. Don't go away.
What's on your mind with Steve Bakken and Scott Hannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you need a building for any reason, you need Bakken Bruce. We're talking hangars. Yeah, as in put airplanes in them. We're talking industrial uses. We're talking garages, workshops, trucking, agriculture, horse barns, arenas, storage buildings, warehouse. They built churches. They built schools. They built fire and police stations. So guess what? If you call them and get a free quote, you're going to see why thousands and thousands of people in the Bakken every day are finding out why Legacy Steel Buildings are the industry leader in providing superior quality, service, and durability at the most competitive prices. But here's the deal. Everybody tells you that, right? It sounds like a sales pitch. Call Bakken Bruce, Bruce Anker, and the team at Legacy Steel Buildings, 800-237-9620. Bruce and his brother Wayne and their family have been building buildings in this part of the world forever. They'll help you out. 800-237-9620. Tell them Scott sent you.
What's more amazing than a Swiss Army knife? A survival business card. It's 11 functions rolled into one pocket-sized tool, including a sharp knife, a saw, a bottle opener, and a can opener, too. It even has a wrench. It lays flat, fits right in your wallet. A survival multi-tool for your wallet, leather-like sheath included, designed to be practical and built to last. Yours free. That's right, free. Claim yours right now while supplies last at freesurvivaltool.com. Again, that's freesurvivaltool.com. Bills in front of Congress right now could take away your right to keep and bear arms. If Obama has his way, all guns will be either banned, restricted, or confiscated, possibly by executive order. The best way to keep your guns is to hide them. What Obama can't find, Obama can't take away. You can protect your guns from any threat. Download our special report, How to Hide Your Guns, at GoHideYourGuns.com. Learn how to hide your guns while keeping them readily available. Get the report now before they make us take it down. On the web at GoHideYourGuns.com.
Man, I love that buttstock pouch on your Mosin Nagant. Where'd you get it?
Strike Hard Gear. They have lots of hard-to-find gear for us comm block shooters, like chest rigs and pouches for your SKS Duckbill magazines.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Plus, a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. Enter GCN for a 5% discount on all products at StrikeHardGear.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.